going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Chris Meany here with you. Another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare, live on our FTN Network YouTube page, coming at you here on Game Plus Network as well. Welcome in. Always appreciate your guys' time. Of course, you know by now, the show also available on iTunes and Spotify, but I also want to tell everybody out there, it is getting closer and closer to football season. I see a lot of hot football takes on the Twitter machine. I feel like once we get into July, it's here, right? Players are on the field already, but you start to see some drafts across the industry. And as we get closer and closer, it does feel a little bit easier to draft certain players. Of course, on the show, we always talk fantasy football, and we will today a little bit. I'm going to dive into how I feel round two should go. You know, we did, I think, a couple weeks ago, round one, which was heavy wide receiver. For me personally, I know not every draft is going to go that way, and you will see across the industry, probably more backs in the first round. I think we only had three running backs inside the top 12. My top 12 rankings, I like to go alpha wide receiver. That's what I'm all about. And I think there's a lot of value at the running back position. And in particular, in the second and third round, and even later into the seventh, eighth round, guys like Cam Akers, Isaiah Pacheco, or Rashad White. These are players we've been talking about at length. Really good values here as we creep closer to July. Yesterday, we went over, speaking of running backs, the rushing yard leaders, the odds over at DraftKings. We talked about some value with Travis Etienne and really just talking about Nick Chubb. I'm a big just Nick Chubb guy, and I'm going to talk a lot about him a little bit later on in the show as well. But today, we will look at quarterbacks, the passing yard leaders via DraftKings. Patrick Mahomes is, of course, up at the top. We'll try to find some value at the quarterback position. So a little bit of football talk here. We got an NBA trade to break down, a couple NHL trades to break down. Tomorrow is the NHL draft, so I have my mock version 2.0. I went 15 deep instead of 10 deep from about a month ago, but no surprises up at the top. It's going to be Connor Bedard, and he's going to play with a former number one overall pick in Taylor Hall, who was traded yesterday from Boston to Chicago. So we'll get into all of that stuff in just a little bit. We're going to scan the diamond. I feel like I owe you guys one or two. I was in on Cincinnati, the total, and Matt McClain. Didn't get that. We did get the two pitchers from the White Sox in the Angels game. Reed Detmers, another phenomenal showing from Detmers. It's four straight starts now with 8+ strikeouts. He punched out 10 yesterday. And the White Sox, Dylan Cease, has been fantastic too. And I believe he's at four consecutive starts with at least 8 strikeouts. And he punched out 10 as well. Should have took him as singles. We talked about, you know, taking them as singles, better value when it came to Dylan Cease, but we did a bit of a same game parlay at plus 130 for both of those guys to have 6+ punch outs. And today is Shohei Ohtani day. Ohtani and on the other side, Michael Kopech. I mean, both of those guys, this is would be the second time they faced the team. Kopech had like a 8 or a 10 strikeout performance against the Halos, and Shohei punched out a few White Sox as well. We'll talk a little bit about Shohei, but Kevin Gausman's got a little fun revenge start against his former squad in the San Francisco Giants. I want to attack his strikeout prop, and we do have a couple other picks as well. I think the Astros get some pretty good value on the road, despite being on the road, but some pretty good value as well. I want to say what up to everybody in the house. Daily Handle with Jordan Allen. Good afternoon, Means, and everybody. John Marchese and Hammerhead Union, like Mahomes or Allen in the first round, if they are there. Slightly early for me in the first round. I think, you know, in a high stakes league, I think we brought up NFFC just a couple weeks ago. I don't believe we have it anymore here in the back end, but you know, one of these days we'll have a show where, you know, we've been slowly picking away at each round of high stakes leagues. And we did see Patrick Mahomes go in the first round on average, but 6 points for a passing touchdown, you know, in underdog best ball, they've been going, and I say they, that's a tier in its own for me. Tier one would be Mahomes, Allen, and look at this. Quan is all over it. Mahomes, I mean, that's not going to happen in your regular draft, you know, unless you are playing in a 6-point passing touchdown league. But at underdog, the ADP for Mahomes and Allen and Hurts are right around 18. And that's where I have them in my overall rankings as well. I prefer Hurts because of the rushing floor. I mean, he's got over, he's back to back seasons with over 700 rushing yards, double digit rushing touchdowns. But Mahomes proved last year he didn't need Tyreek Hill. He just spread the ball around after Travis Kelce, and they got a couple appealing options. You know, I expect an uptick for Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, like these as a rookie. Mahomes didn't miss a beat without Tyreek. And then Josh Allen, you know, he's always going to come with the rushing floor, you know, bringing in Dalton and Kincaid. Thank you. As we dive deeper, these are where these guys are going in high stakes leagues, Allen and Hurts there, pick 18 and 19 back to back. But I'm not one to reach on a quarterback, but I do believe it's very important, to get yourself a top eight quarterback. Geno Smith is probably my favorite quarterback going outside the top 10 as the guy last year finished as a top five quarterback and fantasy points per game quarterback eight. And all they did was arguably get the best wide receiver in the draft and the best cornerback. And I think maybe potentially more possessions for Geno, who led the NFL in completion percentage. But I want to, there is something to be said about having one of those top three quarterbacks, especially Allen and Hurts. You dig into tier two with Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields and Joe Burrow. You know, Lamar and Fields are going to come with that rushing floor like Hurts and Allen. And then after that, tier three would be Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert for me. Nice. So we will have an episode. I think it may be beneficial, Quan. Like once we, George is like, no, not 14 of these boards, but once we'll just have them stockpiled. Like tomorrow, I think we'll show you round five. We've shown you guys the first four rounds, and that's really what we're trying to do on this show. Give you a bit of a feel where these players are going in drafts. You know, ADP isn't everything. Again, have your rankings, have your cheat sheet, have your projections, hopefully from FTN Fantasy, have them, you know, and everybody's, you know, my draft too in my home league, everybody comes with the same sheet. It's no surprises. You all see where guys are going to go, where they're going on average and things like that. But, you know, I want to show you guys where players are going. We want to follow trends. Are they going, you know, are they rising up draft boards? Are they falling down draft boards? Where's the good value? That's what it's all about, seeking some value. But last year I had a lot of Jalen Hurts, you know, had to take him in the fifth and sixth round, but having him and having that floor was fantastic. Had a lot of Fields and Trevor Lawrence as well. Those were the quarterbacks going outside the top 10 last season that broke out and you had them. You were well on your way. Daniel Jones is another one that goes outside the top 10, over 700 rushing yards last year as well. You know, they bolstered the offense. They bring in Paris Campbell, Darren Waller. You know, they draft Jalen Hyatt. They have Wandell Robinson. So the offense should flow a little bit better. It should be a better offense this year than last year, but always trying to seek value. But again, there is something to be said about having those quarterbacks with that solid floor, because, you know, I think of it in the past, like if Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good game, or Kirk Cousins or Tom Brady. I remember a couple of years ago, Tom Brady with the Bucs, the year they won the Super Bowl, he had a fantasy showing, which was 2 points, 2 points. You know what? Didn't toss any touchdowns. He's not running. At least Jalen Hurts, you know, over the past 2 years has averaged 50 rushing yards and 10, a league high, 10 rushing attempts per game over the last 2 years. That's like starting with a free touchdown. If Jalen Hurts doesn't toss a touchdown, at least he's rushing for 50 yards and he's going to get a couple yards anyways through the air. His floor is like 10 to 12 fantasy points rather than sub five, which is what you get for some of these guys. That's why I like Geno too. Sneaky on the ground, 300 rushing yards. Man, just went off. Just went off there off the top of the show. But welcome in. We're going to talk about the NHL mock draft in a little bit as well. Yeah, we're going to hit up a bunch of things here on this show on Mean Street. So welcome in. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me here today. Two things I wanted to say. SiriusXM, our new show, is launching July 8th. We'll be with you, myself, Jake Seeley, Lauren Carpenter, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87, the FTN Fantasy Show. And again, we are debuting on July 8th. Plus, Jeff Ratcliffe with his guide is coming out tomorrow. 288 player profiles, advanced stats, you know, draft strategy, a lot of really cool statistics, where all these players finish on a weekly basis. How many times did they have a top 10 finish, a top, you know, a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three finish, a QB one overall finish. So Jeff is going to be with you guys. I've looked through this guide over the past couple of days and the game plan here and the stats guide. It is absolutely fantastic. George did some really amazing work. And of course, Jeff is all over it as well. So look for that. And we'll probably give away a couple guides here on this show moving forward. Things that you got to do: subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page, smash the like button, subscribe to Mean Streets on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast, rate, review, subscribe. All those things really does do me and us a solid here, but I do want to give away some of those guides because they really are fantastic. So look for that. We'll be doing some giveaways here on this show, but officially launching tomorrow, we'll have an early bird, package there, which will, you know, the underdog best ball draft guide will be included into that as well. A lot of good stuff. As I said, as soon as that calendar turns to July, it really is football season. It really is. We'll get to some of these comments and questions a little bit. Brzees, do appreciate you. Congrats on the XM Series show. Love it. Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And it should be really fun. 2-hour show. It'll be nice. Cooper Kupp bounce back. Oh, baby. Geno, Daniel Jones, Pitts. Lots of football talk. I love it. Let's just keep the football talk going. Why not? We'll break. We'll dive into the quarterback passing yard leaders via DraftKings, and we will dive into how I feel round two should go in your fantasy football drafts. That's next here on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. Something I always like to do on this show, I want to, that's on me, Quan, thank you. You're a producer. Quan is the best, man. I don't know where I'd be without Quan and George. It'd be a bloody mess. I always want to say what up to the crew, so I do want to say what up to everybody here. The show is really, I'm here for you guys, and I do always appreciate the support. Good afternoon means everybody. Jordan Allen in the house. We did say what up to Jamar Casey here, like Mahomes and Allen's in the first round if they're there, and they're going to be there. And again, it's a little bit different if it's a 6-point passing touchdown. We got Nick Chubb, RB number one. Oh, man, I like it. I'm a big fan. One of my bold takes a couple years ago was him RB1, but overall, Kareem Hunt got in the way, but he's no longer there anymore. Brzees 91, good afternoon. Boys, you got Geno, let's go. Cooper Kupp bounce back season. Oh, baby, PTP. Pitts going a little bit early. Oh, Pitts guy looks good too late. I don't know. Pitts guy looks good too late. Not sure what that means. Maybe going a little bit late. He did get the shirt. It took a while, but he finally got the shirt. Brzees 91 there, the Dangle Batselli t-shirt. Dangle Batselli already recorded, coming your way. Game Plus Network, of course. If you're watching Mean Streets now, Dangle Batselli already aired, but every Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to have a couple more NHL episodes for you guys before we switch over. And if you're familiar with Set Bet Spike, myself and Eric Young, we will start to do some NFL team previews very soon and look at futures, things we're doing on the show, but it'll be a heavy, heavy football show. Look for that very soon on Game Plus Network and our FTN Network YouTube page. But Eric and I went through like some of the awards from last night. We took an early look at, you know, way too early futures for next season. We talked NHL draft, a mock draft. We talked some NHL draft props and just a big hockey talk. And Eric thinks the NHL awards are just completely fake. They're not a true thing and players don't care about it. It's the only time I've really disagreed with them. Like, they're not fake. I get what he's saying. Players do care. And I think it was mostly because somebody last night voted for Connor McDavid fifth in the Hart voting and David Pastrnak first. So that was a little strange. And that person should be let go immediately. Privilege is gone. No worries, Brzees 91. No worries. I'm glad you got the t-shirt. All right. So in case you missed it, this is how I think round one should go in fantasy drafts. And again, I am heavy wide receiver, but this is my strategy. I just feel like, you know, it's a passing league. It's a high scoring league. And I get it. There's only a handful of bell cow running backs in the NFL, but you know what? I've kind of changed my tune over the past couple of years. I started a lot of drafts last year with, you know, I did get lucky in some spots with Justin Jefferson. You know, I was in a draft where CMC and Taylor went 1 and 2, and then I took Justin Jefferson third, and then I was able to get Tyreek Hill, you know, in the second round. Now Tyreek Hill is going as a top five wide receiver. But to me, like JJ, I mean, he's got the most receiving yards in the NFL since he entered the league 3 years ago. He's a stud, clear-cut number one. Jamar Chase, you know, the most touchdowns in the NFL, second most touchdowns, excuse me, in the NFL since he entered the league, and he's missed some time, and he was on pace for, you know, topping his rookie season. He missed some time last year, but still, you know, checked a lot of boxes and still improved, actually, on his rookie campaign. Remember when there was talk that he couldn't catch a football? Yeah, that's when he was catching passes from Brandon Allen in training camp. Relax. Cooper Kupp. You could fight me on Cooper Kupp here if you wanted to go CMC third overall. I mean, I wouldn't hate that, but Cooper Kupp finished number one in fantasy points per game last year. Let's not forget the amazing season he had 2 years ago. They bolstered the offensive line in LA to protect Matthew Stafford. Kupp is coming off an injury. There's nobody else inside this offense that's going to threaten, you know, targets, to take targets away from Cooper Kupp. I mean, Higbee last year, over 100 targets and 70 some odd catches. A lot of that came when Kupp suffered the injury, but Van Jefferson wasn't able to step up. Tutu Atwell didn't step up. They traded Allen Robinson away. Cooper Kupp is lock and loaded to me. I have no issues taking him third overall. Tyreek Hill as well, you know, proved that he's quarterback proof, whether it was Tua, Skylar Thompson, or Teddy Bridgewater, or it's Mike White. If Tua goes down, Tyreek Hill arguably had his best season in the NFL, second best fantasy season, but he had 1,700 yards. I mean, this guy was an absolute baller. And again, a lot of people were uncertain with him falling into the mid, late second round. this year, lock and load a top five pick on average. Then I get into the running back. So I would take the alpha wide receivers, then CMC, Austin Eckler, who leads the NFL in touchdowns over the last two seasons, Christian McCaffrey, you know, a perfect spot for him in San Fran with Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, they'll use Eliza Mitchell a little bit. Uncertain who the quarterback's going to be. I believe it's going to be Brock Purdy. But CMC was, I think he played 13 games with the Niners. I believe he had 14 total touchdowns and just over 60 rushing yards, but he was basically a walking 100-yard guy, you know, through the air and on the ground, total 100 yards. Travis Kelce, you know, we talked last week with our guy, Mike Randall, does not like Travis Kelce going this early, but he is the clear-cut number one tight end in fantasy football, and I do believe he's on a tier by himself. And if your team doesn't look as great, you know, I've tried it. You know, when you draft Travis Kelce in the first round, it doesn't look fantastic. You kind of feel like you're thin potentially at the running back position or at the wide receiver position, but I just view him as a wide receiver one. He basically is, right? I mean, there's no true wide receiver one on Kansas City. There's a lot of question marks with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and other guys, but Travis Kelce there at pick seven for me. Stephon Diggs, I really would have liked to see Buffalo draft somebody else or bring in a DeAndre Hopkins, which wouldn't be great for Stephon Diggs's true value, but it would be good for football. Overall, it'd be a good real life get. I found that Stephon Diggs was taken away in a lot of games last year in the second half, double coverage. You know, you're all over him. They did draft Dalton Kincaid in the end of the first round, 25th, 26th overall. And, you know, I think he could play a very similar role to Cole Beasley over the past few years. It's just like a slot guy. You know, they still have two tight ends on the squad. I'm sure their personnel will be a little bit different this year, having Dawson Knox, drafting Kincaid. But, you know, I still think Diggs is in line for a ton of targets. AJ Brown didn't, you know, I thought maybe we'd see a downtick in terms of volume and target per share, but, you know, moving from Tennessee is the clear cut number one to Philadelphia, but he was with his old buddy, Jalen Hurts, and these guys were just fantastic together. In fact, AJ Brown hit career highs, across the board, in Philadelphia. AJ Brown had 146 targets, 88 grabs, just shy of 1500 yards, 12.4 fantasy points per game, 11 touchdowns, all career highs for him all over. His best season in Tennessee in 2020 was 106 targets, 70 grabs, just over 1,000 yards, and the 11 touchdowns, which was 12.2 fantasy points per game. So a slight uptick here for AJ. I've been back and forth with CD and AJ. You guys know I bleed green. That's not why I have AJ ahead of CD. I just think there's a little bit of a higher ceiling, but they're in the same tier for me with Diggs. That's a tier in its own. I think JJ is like 1A, and then 1B would be like Kupp, Jamar, and Tyreek. Then I get into that next tier there after the backs with CeeDee Lamb, who should have more targets than AJ Brown, but I like the quarterback play a little bit better in Philadelphia than I do in Dallas. But again, we're splitting hairs and Diggs is in there as well. And then Davante Adams, who had a fantastic season last year, even with his old buddy Derek Carr, Fresno State connection, carried over into the NFL. But, you know, Jimmy G, you bring in Jacoby Myers, he's going to see a lot of one-on-one. And both of those guys are great separators. You know, they've had some time in the slot. They're really good route runners. They can get separation. I don't know if Jimmy G is going to, you know, throw the ball 40 plus times. They may have to because the secondary is atrocious and the AFC is loaded, but I do have some questions and that's why I have Davante Adams. If this was just a straight up real life fantasy stamp, fantasy aside, Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in football. I do believe that, but I'm a little concerned about the offense and I get it. He had decent games with Brett Hundley in Green Bay, had a good game with, who stepped in last year? Stidham stepped in last year for a game or two. He had a good game with a ton of targets, but yeah. Anyways, he's still a top 12 pick. Ratcliffe got him ranked aggressively as a top four wide receiver, I believe. And then Saquon Barkley, getting into the running backs. Let's do round two. Round two, this is how I feel it should go. Now, Robinson's going in the first round. Taylor's going in the first round on average. Amon-Ra I've seen go in the first round on average. So every draft is different. People want to get their bell cow running backs because it gets thin. But this is just my strategy. Take it with a grain of salt. Follow suit if you want. I'm getting an alpha wide receiver in the first round. That's it. If I pick five or six and those wideouts go off the board, maybe I go CMC or Eckler, or maybe I just take an AJ Brown, CD, or Stephon Diggs and move on. I want to get here. I'll roll through these first, and then I'll dive into my favorite couple. So Jonathan Taylor, 13th overall for the Colts, bounce back season. I do believe just everything went wrong last year in Indy. The offensive line had some injuries. Defensively, they had some injuries. It's a new regime here. Steve Steichen, you know, he did some great things with Justin Herbert as a rookie. He did some great things with Jalen Hurts last year. He's going to do some good things with Anthony Richardson, a mobile quarterback. Matt Ryan was a statue last year, which hurt everybody inside this offense. So Jonathan Taylor, not 100%. This time last year, people were making the case first overall. So Jonathan Taylor, really good running back. I think he's going to be the lead there. And I think they're going to lean on the ground game. We got an inexperienced quarterback. I believe that they're going to be a run first team. And you got a mobile quarterback in Anthony Richardson who could open up some holes there for Jonathan Taylor. I have Bijan here at pick 14. You guys have heard me talk about him being a bust. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I just feel like he's going a little bit too early. I am not comfortable taking him 7th, 8th, 9th overall. I haven't seen him touch the field yet. We've seen some running backs have good rookie seasons. Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. This is a run-first offense. Arthur Smith did some great things in Tennessee. You know, with Derrick Henry, it's an underrated offensive line. Tyler Allgeier, man, he had a really good season. He had over 1,000 yards on 200 carries, and that just goes to show what Bijan could do. If you're going to tell me he's getting 350 touches, heck, he may finish as RB1 overall. He just may. He's a bell cow back. He can do everything. He can do absolutely everything. Run routes out of the backfield, great hands, which is something Tyler Allgeier didn't do. But is Allgeier going to fully go away? Is he just done? And I can hear the voices. I hear you guys. When you spend that kind of draft capital, you're going to just use him and pepper him. And it is a run first offense. I get all of that. But I think Allgeier is pretty decent. And I think he's a guy that's going to get 5 to 6 touches, at least early. I think Allgeier is also a great buy low in dynasty leagues. If there's an injury that happens early on in the season, he's clearly not going to be part of the long-term future. You would have to maybe wait 3 more years to get out of that rookie deal, and then he's on a new team. Or Bijan is just even better than the Falcons and other people think, and they just roll him out week in and week out, and then Allgeier is just kind of wasted on the bench. Could trade him. NFL trades are weird, right? I mean, you're never going to get a good return for certain guys, but I could see him moving to another team. But this was a back who was inside the top 10 in yards after contact. He was a pretty good running back last year for the Falcons. Anyways, I still think Bijan is a top 5 running back. Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe I'm a little low on him. As I mentioned, you know, he's going inside the first round on average. You know, a great season from him in the slot. I can think of at least 4 or 5 times where he fell down at the 1 last year, didn't get the touchdowns. But no Jameson Williams for the first 6 weeks of the season. Marvin Jones is not going to command a lot of targets. TJ Hawkinson is not there. Amon-Ra is like in a PPR league, you could make a case for him as like a top borderline top 5 wide receiver because he's going to get a lot of targets in the middle of the slot. He's a really good weapon. And Jared Goff was great last season, especially at home. His splits were for real, but especially at home, he was really good. Jalen Waddle in there as well. Another guy that just proved that it didn't matter who was the quarterback in Miami. Waddle was going to eat. Tyreek Hill was going to eat. Those guys are speedy. They're great after the catch. Mike McDaniel is a fantastic coach. They run a lot of motion, guys in motion. They just want to get the ball in these guys' hands and watch them, you know, explode. Nick Chubb for me is my target. My favorite target in the second round is Nick Chubb. I like absolutely everything about Nick Chubb. We talked about him being the potential rushing yard leader this coming season, and I do believe that. Last year, 1,500 rushing yards, 1,200 the year before, 1,000, 1,494 in his second season. His first year only started 9 games, and he had 996 rushing yards. For his career, he's played 75 games, just 1,200 attempts, over 6,300 rushing yards, 5.3 yards per carry every year, 5.2, 5, 5.6, 5.5, 5. The offensive line in Cleveland is still good. The caveat is the catches. Where is he going to live in terms of catches? He only had 27 grabs last year on 37 targets. Well, that was the most he's had since 2019, his sophomore season. I was at First Energy Center in Cleveland that year before they got Kareem Hunt. He had a game with 5 or 6 grabs. I'm like, oh man, this Nick Chubb guy can absolutely do it all. He is a bell cow running back who's going to catch 40, 50 balls next year. Then they got Kareem Hunt and he cut into everything. There's no Kareem Hunt on this squad. I don't know if they're going to bring him back or not. I don't think so. Jerome Ford is on this squad. Maybe he's, you know, some third down roll catches out of the backfield. But one thing that I have noticed over the past couple of years is even Nick Chubb eating, right? 12 rushing touchdowns last year, 1,500 rushing yards. There were times last season where Kareem Hunt would steal a couple goal line carries inside the 5, and maybe he's, you know, driving him down the field and he stays on the field inside the red zone and you're wanting Nick Chubb to get out there. Now Kareem Hunt is gone. We're getting more goal line opportunities for Nick Chubb, more rushing attempts, potentially more catches out of the backfield as well with Deshaun Watson, who shaked off a little bit of rust last year, going to be with the team this offseason in what will probably be a little bit more pass happy. But I'm not ready to say that Nick Chubb is only going to catch 27 passes. I think he can get close to 40. And if he's getting close to 40, it's like that bump that we saw from Derrick Henry last year, using the screen game a little bit more, a couple dump offs, right? Utilize this guy, get him the ball in space and watch him go. Cause Chubb is just like, catch me if you can. I'm going to run over you. He's got so much agility to his game as well. And there were some games last season looking week 18. You take this with a grain of salt, 6 targets, 5 grabs, 45 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. Week 14, 3 catches on 3 targets for 20 yards. Week 10, 4 targets, 3 grabs. Followed it up against Buffalo, 3 targets, 3 grabs. Other games are like 1 target, 0 catches, 1 target, 0 catches. Having Kareem Hunt away from the squad is a huge win for Nick Chubb. Like I said, I think 30 catches is probably his floor, and I think he can get to 2,000 total yards. And that's obviously a kind of a bold statement, but I think 1,500 rushing yards is like his floor. And like I said, I think he's going to catch a few more passes. So I am pro Nick Chubb in the second round. And I do like the odds that Quan brought up at plus 425 to lead the NFL in rushing yards. And I understand 425, you want to look for value. 450. Actually, at Caesars, excuse me, it's plus 650. And FanDuel, according to a follower yesterday, I forget the name, told me 700, 7-1 for Nick Chubb over at FanDuel. Prop Shop's your friend. Get the best possible odds. Back to the second round. Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. That's where I feel like these guys should go. I'd be willing to take them in the middle, end of the second round. And if you don't get them, not the end of the world. But if you are a guy that maybe likes to take wide receivers early, then you get yourself like a floor rushing quarterback, right? It's almost like having an RB1 kind of. And then you can seek out some value, towards the middle part of your draft. But I think if you don't get these guys and you can get involved with maybe tier 2 with Lamar and Hurts, or Lamar and Fields and Burrow, and then maybe tier 3 would be the cutoff, you know, with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. Garrett Wilson there, Devontae Smith, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry to round things out. Josh Jacobs led the NFL in rushing yards last season. I do believe it will be a run first team. Unfortunately for him, he had the franchise tag. He didn't get paid for all the work that he did last year. But Josh Jacobs, I think end of the second is pretty solid. And Derrick Henry as well. We're all wondering when he's going to fall off, but Derrick Henry continues to be an absolute beast. 2 years ago, he was first among running backs in fantasy points per game. And then this year, you know, in an old school standard setting, he was number 1 in fantasy points per game. But in your half point setting, he was number 3 behind Eckler and Derrick Henry, or Christian McCaffrey. But what I do want to say about Derrick Henry is 2 things. The quarterback play is spotty, and that is a concern, right? If this team starts off very slow, they're going to have to turn from Ryan Tannehill to Will Levis. So I don't think the offense will flow as nice. I think they want to be competitive. The division is, you know, it's not great. They probably feel like maybe they could win that if they start off very strong. But if the quarterback, I think at some point we'll see Will Levis. And then they also didn't do anything else to bring in other guys. Like, we like Okonkwo here. I love him as a tight end target. You know, outside the top 10 is a guy who's going to get some targets, potentially the lead there in the red zone. Treylon Burks. Other than that, like, who else is on this squad that we can get excited about? And it's the same sort of deal as last year. That's why we saw the massive uptick. And nobody wanted to buy into this. I remember people were calling me foolish for this last year. In 2021, Derrick Henry had 18 catches and 20 targets. From a per game standpoint, he only played 8. That was a career high for him. Didn't seem like a whole lot. It's like 2 catches per game, but he wasn't catching anything in the first few years of his career. Last year, 16 games, 33 grabs, 41 targets, and 398 receiving yards. All of those career highs. He was getting 1 or 2 screen passes a game. I know, because we were betting on it on this show. His catch prop was like 1.5. We were taking it almost every single week. And he was doing it. 5 grabs, 3, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, 3, 3, 2, 4, 2. Like, that's how he finished off his season, getting some targets. So don't have that in your mindset. Like, oh, he's never going to catch any passes, not going to get any targets. I want a true bell cow back. He's a sneaky little receiving upside to his game as well. Can you bring that up one more time? Just the wide receivers. I think I skipped over Devontae Smith, top 10 wide receiver last year, like 1A Hurts, 1B Devontae Smith. It's a good offense. I have no problem taking him at the end of the second. And Garrett Wilson, right? Garrett Wilson's going a little bit higher than this. You know, I've seen him go ahead of Jaylen Waddle, ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Garrett Wilson, good season last year. He's just a good wide receiver, and he has a massive uptick at the quarterback position, trading in, you know, Flacco and Wilson and White for Aaron Rodgers, who is with the team building rapport with his weapons, which is something that hasn't been said for quite some time. So I think Garrett Wilson is a really nice target as well, but don't be shocked if Alan Lazard is like that third down go-to for Rodgers, or, you know, the go-to guy inside the red zone. But he's throwing to another 17, and it's not Adams, it's Garrett Wilson. And I think that, I'd say his floor is 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. Garrett Wilson's a pretty good target as well. I just rambled for like 20 minutes. We got a break. We'll come back. We'll address. There's a lot of comments, and we'll address all of that. We'll continue the football talk here on Mean Streets before we dive into some NHL draft props, the mock draft, recap some craziness around the NHL. We'll do all that stuff. And we still have some MLB picks here on Mean Streets as well. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Just want to get to some comments and we'll switch gears here just a little bit. Again, I do appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And yeah, Kenny Pickett late. I don't mind it. Jake is not all about him. Doesn't believe in him at all. Didn't have a game with 2 passing touchdowns, but Deontay Johnson didn't score. He's kind of thrown in. I think, you know, Kenny Pickett is a great late round target as a quarterback, especially in super flex leagues. I do like Purdy as well. And Purdy is finally going ahead of Trey Lance now. In underdog drafts, Brown is a monster. Love seeing Devontae Adams up there. Lamb, solid floor. Mahomes, Chubb, Henry. Bruzy said he'd move Chubb up to 13, Henry to 14. Let's see. Would you trade Kendre Miller for Algiers straight up dynasty? I wouldn't, Mark. I wouldn't do that. I think that Kendre Miller is a really good dynasty get because Alvin Kamara is dealing with something. He's going to get suspended. He's going to miss some time. And I don't know, like, if he's the future. Like, he's a really good running back, and we've seen a downtick from him, especially through the air, ever since Sean Payton left. And I tell you what, Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, these guys are both going to be catching balls out of the backfield in Denver with Payton and Russ. But I wouldn't do that. I think that just because they were really aggressive in drafting him, I think he was a third round pick, if memory serves me correct. And Jamal Williams is just like that veteran back who I do believe will be the lead when Kamara is sidelined. But I don't know if Kamara's got this big future. I think they probably got good plans for Kendre Miller. So, and I don't think it would take that much to get Algier. You could let, I have a lot of Algier in dynasty leagues because I took him basically free last year. And again, I liked him. I liked the system. And now Bijan is just like, he's like 3 Algiers. But I guarantee you the Algier owner in Dynasty is a little uneasy about having him. They don't really want him. When are they ever going to start him? If they don't have any taxi squad roster spots, he's just kind of wasting away on their bench. You could get him for much cheaper than that. You could probably give him a late second, a third round pick. You could just see what they need on their squad. You know, if they have Algier, do they need other wide receivers? I don't think you need to give up somebody like that. Goff was our favorite third quarterback. He's going inside the top 20, so he's not super late this year, but he was our favorite late round quarterback on the show last year. And he did pay off for us. He had a really good season for sure. Love Pollard in the fourth. They won't be there. Alan Mahomes, guarantee you they will be, dude. Like, they're going overall 18th. I mean, we've done a ton of drafts on this show. That's where they're going. The graphic we showed you from NFFC high stakes leagues, it's 6-point passing touchdown. I promise you, Allen, Mahomes, and Hurts, they're not going in the first round of standard leagues. And best ball is a little bit different because you want to stack, but I've never seen any of them go in the first round. You got to get them in the second, though. Do agree with this tag, Jags, for the division as well. 10.5 is a high win total, but for the division, I do believe that they're going to get there. Let's do some hockey talk here just a little bit. We'll give a little bit of love to some award winners last night. We got, this, no surprises. Right? This is what we said yesterday. NHL awards predictions. I got George to take off predictions. Put this picture here of Connor McDavid, who won the Ted Lindsay, the Art Ross, the Rocket, and the Hart Trophy. And as a guy who is the first time and second time actually ever, because the Rocket was introduced, I believe, in 99. Ovechkin in 2008 took all the hardware as well. But a great season from Connor McDavid, right? 153 points. And only four guys have ever done that. Gretzky 9 times, Lemieux 4, and Stevie Y. So a historic season. Any other year, you know, Connor, maybe you're saying David Pastrnak or Matthew Tkachuk, but McDavid takes home the Hart, takes home the Ted Lindsay, wins the Rocket, wins the Art Ross as well. Erik Karlsson, which is something that we had over at FTM Bets at 28-1 to win the Norris, 100-point season for him. The first time in 31 years we saw a defenseman hit the century mark, Brian Leetch back in the day. Linus Allmark had a great season. Of course, Jim Montgomery won Coach of the Year with the Bruins. The best season of all time, 65 wins, 135 points. Matty Beniers, we also had a 4-1 to win the Calder. A nice little run. I think I said yesterday that they also had a member in the NFL, Tariq Woolen, I think, as Rookie of the Year on the defensive side. It was Sauce Gardner. He was up for it. But Matty Beniers in Seattle, Rookie of the Year in the NHL. And then Julio Rodriguez, AO Rookie of the Year in Seattle last year around the diamond. Patrice Bergeron wins his sixth Selke. And then Anze Kopitar, we talked yesterday. A great season from him, basically a point per game guy, and only two trips to the penalty box all season long. These are the way too early odds here. Vezina Trophy, Ilias Sorokin at 4-1, UC Saros at 6-1, Igor Shesterkin at 6-1, Connor Hellebuck at 7-1. I think there's value here for Andre Vasilevskiy at 8-1, Jake Oettinger at 12-1, Philip Gustafson at 20-1, and then Alexander Georgiev, who was a top five fantasy goalie, had some really, really good numbers. Kale McCarr missed some time. A lot of players in Colorado missed some time, but at 25-1, some really good odds there for Alexander Georgiev. As for Norris, we got Kale McCarr at +175, Adam Fox 5-1, Dahlin at 8-1, Heiskanen and McAvoy at 12-1, Quinn Hughes at 16-1. That's a sucker bet. Roman Josi, good value there at 18-1. Dougie Hamilton, decent value there at 25-1. Erik Karlsson's not going to win it again, but I do believe he will get traded to a new squad. I think there's really good value there for Victor Hedman at 30-1. And I don't, yeah, here's the heart as we get out of here. Connor McDavid, they just need to have another award, don't they? They need to have a Connor McDavid award and then an MVP award, just like in baseball. Shohei Ohtani award and then an MVP award for everybody else. But McDavid at +100, McKinnon at 9-1, Draisaitl 10-1, Tkachuk at 12-1, Kaprizov and Pastrnak along with Matthews at 16-1. Jack Hughes, I think a pretty decent bet at 18-1. Tage Thompson, if the Sabres can find a way to get a playoff spot, Tate Thompson will have something to say about that at 25-1. Kucherov 25-1. Makar, I think, is interesting at 30-1, and Jason Robertson at 30-1 as well. You know, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of value across the board. We're not rooting for injuries on this show, but McDavid would have to, you know, have a massive down season or miss some time for other guys to really be in the MVP conversation. We still have a little bit more hockey talk. I want to show you my mock draft, talk about Taylor Hall. And we do want to show you, we got some MLB picks as well. So we're going to take another quick break here on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Welcome back in Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Quan, let's save the NHL mock draft for the next block. Passing yards. We probably should have did that in the previous block and kept the football talk going while people were hanging out and getting excited about the NFL. So before we bring up there we go. That's all good. Leave it there. I also wanted to tell you guys where the consensus was for the quarterbacks. Quarterback, let's see. On average consensus, we got six rankers here at FTMFantasy.com. Mahomes is 24. Hurts is 26. Josh Allen is 32. Our guy Ratcliffe, right, who's the GOAT, he's got Mahomes at 26. He's got Hurts at 29. He's got Josh Allen at 32. I'm the second lowest of the bunch on Tony Pollard. I do believe if he fell to the third round, he'd be a great, great pick. I'm not convinced. I think Dallas may bring in another running back. I don't know if he can, you know, have 20-plus touches a game. He's coming off a broken fibula. I don't think he's really built like that. I think he's explosive, and he has been the better back in Dallas over the past couple of years, but Zeke has been great as a pass protector. He's been great as a goal line back, and all he did was draft a sixth-round pick, you know, in Deuce Vaughn. I think they're going to bring in a veteran back. I really do. But Tony Pollard, for me, for people that are wondering, I have him at 25. So he would have been the next guy on the list for me. Scott Spratt has him at 31. Ratcliffe has him at 17. And a shout out to Adam Pfeiffer, who has him at 13 overall. Like, that's just a bit rich for me. I can't be taking Tony Pollard in the first or second round. This is from DraftKings. Most passing yards, Mahomes at 3-1. Herbert at +650. Allen at 8-1. Kirk Cousins at 9-1. Joe Burrow in there at 11-1. And we have Trevor Lawrence at 20-1, Aaron Rodgers at 21, Jared Goff 25, along with Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts at 28-1, Matthew. Russell Wilson at 35-1. Derek Carr also at 35-1, along with Deshaun Watson, Jimmy G. Lamar Jackson at 40-1 is not bad. Let's be honest about Lamar Jackson. I mean, this is a guy that the past couple of years has had really nobody to throw the football to. You bring in Odell Beckham Jr., you draft Zay Flowers, you have Rashad Bateman to stretch the field. I think we'll see a little bit of a rotation between Flowers and Rashad Bateman, but Mark Andrews is a mismatch. I've said it a couple times in the show. You know, Monk is a new offensive coordinator in town. They ran 11 personnel fewer than anybody last year. Now, all of a sudden, you got the great route running ability in OBJ. Bateman to stretch the field. Flowers going to see some one-on-one, great route runner. Then you got Mark Andrews, who's a mismatch. And you got to worry about the dual threat ability of Lamar Jackson, plus J.K. Dobbins, who's been very efficient, a small sample size, but very efficient in the NFL, is going to see some soft boxes, like light boxes. I think this Baltimore team may be electric on offense. And Lamar Jackson's not too far removed from an MVP type season. I know he likes to run and call his own number, but at 40-1, not too bad. Can we bring that up one more time? Thank you. Mahomes did lead the NFL with 5,200 passing yards last year, followed by Justin Herbert at 4,700. Herbert's the guy that everybody feels like MVP breakout, Kalen Moore, more deep shots down the field, bringing Quentin Johnson. I get it. I like that. But Trevor Lawrence, I think for me, in really his first full year with a capable head coach in Doug Peterson, you add Calvin Ridley to the squad. It's another offensive loaded squad, right? Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, Travis Etienne catching balls out of the backfield. I think Trevor Lawrence can take another leap forward. 4,100 passing yards for him last year. And what's the deal with Jalen Hurts at 60-1? I get it. 3,700 passing yards. He's not going to lead the NFL in passing yards. He may lead the NFL in rushing yards or rushing touchdowns. But I thought at, what was that, 60-1? Was it 60-1? Oh, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. It's not even close. 28-1. I think the bets here on this board when we get out of here, I think Herbert's a decent sprinkle at plus 650. I love Lawrence at 20-1. I like Watson at 35-1, and I like Lamar at 41. And you know what? Geno Smith, ladies and gentlemen, 4,200 yards last year, led the NFL in completion percentage. Defense is going to be better, more possessions, and JSN added to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and two running backs. You know, it's a good 1-2 punch. Charbonnet can catch the ball as well. That's where I'm at. NHL mock draft here next. MLB picks to wrap up Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. All right, we got Hammerhead Union breaking trades for us on Mean Streets. I did see it from Elliot Friedman, and it is official. The Philadelphia Flyers have traded Kevin Hayes to the St. Louis Blues for a sixth-round pick. The Flyers retain 50% of Hayes' contract. He's overpaid. He's like $7 million. I don't understand why he got $7 million. Like, there's no time to get into that. He's a good... At the time when he had with the Rangers, he had a nice little breakout campaign. These guys get breakout campaigns when they're on a contract year, and free agency, everybody overpays for free agents. That's just how it is in sports. But Kevin Hayes, a decent two-way forward, you know, fill the void left by Ryan O'Reilly. I have no idea what the Blues are doing. It seems like they still want to be competitive, but they have a lot of guys over the 30 as well. And I thought maybe a larger trade, but it did, according to reports, Torrey Krug did not want to waive his no trade clause to go to St. Louis, and I don't blame him. This was a trade that happened last night. We had Taylor Hall there to the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Chicago Blackhawks also signed Nick Foligno because they picked up his rights in that trade. They signed him to a one-year, $4 million contract. I know, $4 million, but you know, they got to have some players on the team. It can't just be, you know, everyone making a minimum salary there. They got to get to the floor, but the Bruins get out of the $6 million that Hall had remaining on his contract for each of the next two seasons, and a former first overall pick going to play with a new first overall pick in Connor Bedard. So I think this is a win for Taylor Hall. Yeah, he leaves a team like the Bruins. He's not going to win in Chicago, but he's going to get back to playing on the first line. He's going to be a guy that we target for shot props, and it's good for Connor Bedard to have a guy like Taylor Hall on his line. I'll get into this a little bit deeper tomorrow, but this is my 2.0 version here. Bedard, Adam Fantale, Leo Carlson there at pick 3. I think Will Smith does go to the Sharks, and if he doesn't, I do believe the Habs will take Will Smith. A lot of Michkov talk here, you know, potentially not coming over to the NHL until 2026. So we'll see. I can't see him falling past Philly at 7, maybe Washington at 8. But, you know, a lot of these teams on this list are rebuilding, like maybe not Columbus. They feel like they're ready. They've been super aggressive here over the past couple weeks. But San Jose, Montreal, Arizona, Philly, these teams can afford to wait for Michkov. And I do believe he is the third best player in this draft after Bedard and Adam Fantale. Two Canadian boys will go 1 and 2 here tomorrow evening. You know what? In terms of props, I think there's a David Reinbacher, little Aussie here. I don't know if it's rock solid that he's going to be the first defenseman off the board. FanDuel is offering Reinbacher versus the field, and the field is plus 640. I think Simashev, Dmitry, who is a big body two-way defenseman who I have going to the Sabres at 13, you know, I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he was the first defenseman off the board. Or Willander is not a guy that I think is really all that great. I feel like the Canucks will fall into that trap. Good defenseman. Don't get me wrong. It'd be a good pick. But Simashev is a guy that I just wouldn't be shocked if he was the first defenseman off the board. So if you're looking for some props here, you know, I think the field at plus 650 is all right. I think that there is, you know, still some value. Michkov, you know, books have him, you know, a little bit juice at minus 220 to be outside pick 5. I think he's just available to the Habs. I think it'd be hard for Montreal to pass on him. They're a few years away from contending. And I know that they're linked to Reinbacher and Leonard, but nobody thought that they would take Slavkovsky number one overall. They're pretty hush-hush in Montreal. So this is how I see things going. You know, the Blues just got a center, so maybe they don't do Danielson, but there's a Danielson versus Barlow on FanDuel, and Danielson's minus 152. I think he'll go ahead of Barlow in the draft. I think Nashville gets a center. Matthew Wood is a nice little sniper. Zach Benson may go earlier. Arizona's going to take a defenseman, whether it's pick 6 or pick 12. They'll take one defenseman with one of those two picks, I do believe. But top 15, man, I think the draft is top heavy. Top 15, top 20 picks is a lot of really good players in there that teams are going to get as well. I was just catching up here. Can't wait to watch Bedard and the Hawks and Jersey tomorrow night. Like Reichel. Reichel's a stud. He's going to be a good player for Chicago as well. And Joe Burrow was I see you guys with the Joe Burrow comments. Joe Burrow's a good one. Stafford, I'm not in on. I just don't know who's going to be the number two. I just don't believe in anybody else really on that Rams squad. But Burrow's a good one to take to lead the NFL in passing yards. We get a couple MLB props around on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. MLB props here with you, or for you guys here. Excuse me. Kevin Gausman's the first guy I'm going to take a look at. Over 6.5 strikeouts at minus 135. He's got a matchup against his former squad in the San Francisco Giants. The Giants have the fifth highest strikeout rate in baseball at 24.8%. Now, they aren't striking out as much lately as they did early in the season, but Kevin Gausman has 127 strikeouts in 92 2/3 innings. It's the second most in baseball. Strider again last night, 10 punchouts. I mean, that guy's setting records every time he takes the ball to the hill. But Kevin Gausman here at over 6.5 strikeouts. I do like that one at minus 135. It is Shohei Ohtani day. You know, we did get Reed Detmers yesterday at over 5.5 strikeouts. At over 7.5 is a little bit juice at minus 140, but this White Sox team, there's a lot of swing and miss in this squad. They're going to rebuild. They're going to start to sell some assets here very soon. I do believe that. And what we said yesterday, the White Sox inside the top 10 in terms of strikeout percentage at 23%, but over the last month at 24.5%, slightly higher. And they have been swinging and missing a little bit more against lefties than righties, but Shohei's got the stuff. I mean, again, Detmers last night punched out 10. I just look at this White Sox team and I think that they're a bloody mess. And then the other one that I had, I think I got rid of it here, but it was the Astros money line at minus 110 with Framber Valdez on the bump in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. Now, Jordan Montgomery is taking the ball for St. Louis and he's been really solid for them. And the Cardinals have been a little bit better lately, but anytime I can get the Astros at near even money, I got to jump on that. So minus 110 for me for the Houston Astros money line. Ohtani over 7.5, Kevin Gausman over 6.5 as well. We got a whole lot more over at ftnbets.com/free. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.